What's going on? What's going on? It's your boy Matt Aronson, also known as Mr. No Offense. For those of you who are new to the platform, if you have been here before, thank you, thank you, thank you for returning. And if this is your first time, thank you for viewing. If you're watching this, then hopefully you've seen the subject of our interviews today on the cover of our latest magazine. This is an opportunity to get to know more about her. We can only get so much in the pages, but here you'll be able to actually, you know, get to know more of who she is. If you haven't caught her already on Thursday nights with us on the High Council, this will be an opportunity to meet the wonderful Miss Leah Starr. Now, before we jump into this, do me a favor. Definitely hit the share button or however you might be watching this, whether it be the QR code in the magazine or you happen to see it streaming, hit the share button. Let somebody else know they can watch it. They can get to know somebody else is awesome. And as always, we appreciate your support. Make sure that you follow all the socials that you hear about in this episode. You'll probably hear mine. I know you for a fact you'll hear hers before the end of the episode. So, hey, listen, remember to have a good time. And this is a no offense podcast. So be prepared to hear something you might not expect to hear. We'll see. Let's go. So without further ado, let me get on the stage with me, Miss Leah Starr.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
Have I scared you yet?
No.
she's like, yo, what the hell is he talking about? Like, come on, hear something. No, I'm just playing. I'm not like, I just gotta make sure you guys are up and running. As for those of y'all who haven't been on the platform before, none of this is scripted. I don't ever prep them with any questions about what we're gonna ask. We typically try to have a conversation just to get to know, you know, as you would a friend, or you know what I'm saying? Or you can form your own opinion as we go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had some interesting, you know, individuals on the show. I ain't gonna lie. After a while, after we get off, I'll be like, yo, I wish I would have known about that shit before we got online. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's all cool. That's what the experience is about. You know what I'm saying? Just getting to know people. And that's awesome. So before we jump into this, got any prayers you want to say, or you know what I'm saying? Like, you good? Or
I'm good.
Y'all make sure y'all tune in as well for the High Council, man. I got jokes. I'm just prepping for the night, y'all. she's like, man, you went crazy. All right, so now here we go. Let's start from the beginning. Y'all know how we do. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Brooksville, Florida. It's a very small town next to Spring Hill in Hernando County. I was raised there, and I lived in New York for a little bit, and I lived in Louisiana for a little bit.
Damn, girl. So you went from, you did the triangle.
Yeah, so I lived in Florida until I was 17. Mm-hmm. Then right before I turned 18, I moved up to New York to see if I could make it on my own. Did that for 2 years. And actually, prior to all of that, at like 16 years old, that's when I was in Louisiana.
Really? Oh shit. Okay. How did how did you end up in Louisiana for one? Because I mean, me being from Florida, I know it's just different vibes. Like when you go, I haven't been up to New York, but I hear they move faster than they do down there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, how did you end up in Louisiana? And was it like how did you adjust to the environment?
I don't think I adjusted. Being from Florida, it helped me as far as like the climate, the bugs, things like that. But to be honest, when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I was adopted to a family. And my mom is from like England, and then my dad was from Louisiana. She was in the Royal Air Force, and he was in the military, and that's how they met. Yeah, when I got adopted with them, some things were going on to where like my parents wanted me back and they couldn't. So they moved me in the middle of the night to Louisiana. And it was literally, have you ever seen any movies where like you pull up to like this really small town and everybody's waiting outside for you and they already know your name and you don't even know who they are? It was like one of those towns for real.
Damn.
Population of like maybe 1,000, one doctor, one grocery store.
Damn.
Middle of the woods.
Yeah, man. I know some of them towns in Louisiana, man. My dad was from Lake Charles, man. You know what I'm saying? I got a friend out there is it Edward or Edmund or something like that? But yeah, it's just, I can imagine a 16 being like from night to day. Like that's gotta
be. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, man. So from there, like how'd you, what, you went back to Florida and then ended up in New York or?
Yeah, so about 17 years old, I decided to leave my adopted parents. I don't know, honestly, I just think I got scared when you're so used to people always wanting something from you or having a different motive. When somebody comes into your life who just truly loves you and just wants the best for you, it's a little scary. So it was one of those situations where it was like, this is too good to be true. I'm out. Right. So I went back to my parents. And when I went back to my parents, I was like, yeah, there was a reason why I got adopted. I can't be here anymore.
It was different. You had been exposed. You could see some shit now. You was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah. You ain't know this part.
I understand. I understand. Believe it or not, our story is a lot closer than you think. But that's crazy. But I'm glad you were able to adjust. So how did you? So what made you want to? You know what I'm saying? Head up to New York. Like that's.
So my dad's from New York, and every year, growing up, I used to visit there, go there for the summer, and visit all family and stuff like that. So I always had a love for the city and stuff like that. But it was one of those situations where it was like, you know how everybody says if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere.
Make it anywhere.
Right? Yeah. So I literally like left with 75 cents in my pocket and moved to New York and ended up getting a place within a month and getting a job. And I ended up staying there for almost 2 years.
That's wild, man. Hey, that's a shout out to you for making it, man. You got to have a hustle. Now, I had never been up there. I had a homie, rest in peace, Dan. So he actually used to be on the High Council, but he was up there, man. They used to tell me the rent up there was crazy, man. Like, I mean, I guess staying in Florida, I didn't realize how expensive Florida is because when you born there, it's different. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's different. But when you move out of state, like, you be like, yo, that's it's crazy. But when then you hear about the prices in New York, I was like, yo, how y'all doing that shit? That shit's wild, man. Like, that's crazy as hell, man. Mm-hmm. So like, how was your experience up there? Did you like the speed of everything moving? Because I hear it's like a city.
I mean, I was young, so I love the speed of everything. Everything's going on all hours. There's people everywhere, so you're never really alone. It was cool. I didn't like the weather though. That's the only thing. So even though I lived in New York, I actually didn't see snow until recently because every time it got so cold, I left. I couldn't take it.
Hey, I understand. Like the AC, I think it's like 60 right now, and I'm already looking for a reason to turn the heater on, man. Like I'm sorry, I'm a Florida boy, man. I need the heat. But all right, so you come out to Florida, you know what I'm saying? Throughout it all, was there anything that you? What were some of the things that you were learning or picking up as you, because anyway, as you're always constantly growing and things like that, but what were some of the lessons that you're learning as you're making these different transitions, you know what I'm saying, that kind of made you come back to Florida?
A lot was happening that made me go back to Florida. I was young, you know what I mean? So when you're young, you make sometimes bad decisions or you think they're good decisions and they turn out to be bad. And, you know, you got to survive. You got to hustle. You got to survive. You got to maintain. So there were some things going on in New York that weren't the best. And I realized I didn't really want that life. You know what I mean? And although I was making it and I was doing good, it was kind of like get away from people, places, and things. Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, you get into a relationship, things like that, things go south. So it was just one of those things all around. It was like, New York's really not my home. I just wanted to see if I could do it, and it was cool and everything. But yeah, I was good on that. Honestly, it opened my eyes because I'm gonna be real. Being from, you know, little old Brooksville, Florida, like you think you know things, right? You think you see things. You think you're hip to stuff, and then you go to like a city like New York where they're fast paced from young, you know. And I was really naive. I really realized in that moment how country I was and how naive I was, how young I was.
Hey, it's crazy. That's crazy. It seems to be like those are the fastest growing up. That's the fastest growing up you can get. Like that's when the world realized. Like that's when you realize. Like I don't know, miles away from home. I feel like there's a lot of growing up like that happens because you ain't had no choice. Like
you're forced to stand on your own.
Yeah, it's like you either gotta get with it or, but at least you were humble enough to say like, yo. this shit is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, you know, because some people, for whatever reason, was still, I'm not saying that people should, like, jump ship. But what I'm saying is some people will ignore some, I guess what people call red signs, or, you know what I'm saying, red flags or whatever the fuck. But it's like, but other people have that perseverance to be like, no, I'm not going to let this beat me or whatever. So I shout out to you for even making it for 2 years.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. So I did the same thing too. Like, I tried to stick it out. I didn't want no one to know, like, or I didn't want to feel like I was failing, or, you know, I was waving the white flag. But after getting kicked down so many times, it's kind of like, you know, either you're going to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result, or you're going to change the situation. So, you know, I changed the situation.
And I commend you for doing it. Because I see some, that's what I'm saying. I guess as you grow up, your perception of things kind of change. Because, like, from an immature mind, you're like, oh, a person giving up. But it's not that they're giving up, bro. Like, wisdom comes with experience. So it's kind of like, maybe, like you said, like how you did, you say you changed the situation. But I feel like you're in a much better place, because you seem to be, like, you're doing, you know what I'm saying? You seem to be doing much. I didn't know you back then, but you seem to be, like, in a happier spot now, like, as far as where you are present day. Or else, would you say that you are now?
Definitely. It took a lot of lessons, you know, to love myself, to figure out really who I am, what do I want, you know, things like that. So I'm definitely happier now. And although a lot of those lessons really sucked and I didn't want to go through them and they were hard and they hurt, they were really needed to make me the person that I am today. Without those lessons, I wouldn't be who I am now. I wouldn't have the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to, you know what I mean, to make certain choices that are the right choices now.
Facts. I always say, you know what I'm saying, you don't get to decide what lessons you learn when you learn them. And you can't judge nobody learning a lesson. The thing is about, did they learn the lesson? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I said, man, so I definitely commend you. You're definitely a woman of many talents. What are those different talents, as far as, because we know you do the modeling, you also, congratulations, the spokesmodel of the network, you know what I'm saying, you're also, you have your own cleaning service. So what are some of the talents that you have, and how did you discover them, and how can people, you know, get in contact with you as far as to take advantage of those?
All right. So, you know, as the modeling, everybody can find me, you know, at on Facebook at Leah Star with two R's, and then on IG, Leah Star X. I'll be putting out a QR code soon that'll be tied to all my different links and stuff, my Playboy link, all of that stuff. But as far as talents maybe that people don't know I have, I've always been super heavy into music at an early age. I learned how to play the piano myself. I learned how to read music on my own. Started learning the harmonica a little bit, but mostly the piano is my thing. So I could read music and I could play by ear.
What? Get out of here. What? This is what I'm talking about. That's why I love when we do these interviews, because let me find out you're a pianist too. Okay, cool. So
yeah, if you guys stay tuned, I'm actually going to have a song I'm going to be recording soon. So here in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, snap. Listen, man, I'm happy to hear. You know I'm going to be on the lookout for sure. So as far as harmonica, how did you get into that? Are you self-taught?
All my music is always self-taught.
What got you into that? Or
again, just a real big love for music. Certain things inspire me. So it could be that I'm just hearing a really dope melody and I hear a harmonica and the music and I'm just like, oh, I want to play that song. So I'll sit there and I'll keep at it until I learn how to play the song, whether it be on an instrument or, you know what I mean? So,
man, that's wild. Yeah, because I never forget when I got my first harmonica, I was hyperventilated, man.
Were howling. They still howl. Yeah.
It's crazy. Do you listen to any, like, different harmonica players, or you listen to just overall any kind of genre?
Any kind
or just
of music, you know, especially like the old music and stuff, like old school music. It has like a lot of different stuff. Not anybody in particular that I listen to. It's just, again, whatever I'm feeling, whenever I get inspired to, it's just what I do. Another thing a lot of people don't know about me is I did like fighting and boxing and stuff like that for like over 10 years, as well as played football for about a good 5 years. And I was the only girl on the guys team in middle school and high school.
See, that's why I don't be playing too. See, So y'all be like, why you don't go in? I'm like, yeah, cause nah. I'm my old age. I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? We good. If y'all ever notice when we do the high council, she always be like, her box be over somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want her to like just reach over. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm straight on that. You know what I'm saying? But that's what's up. So definitely sounds like you were athletic. You know what I'm saying? It did a lot of, you know, how did you get into boxing? You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying?
So that's a funny story. So my maiden last name is Verouette. And if you guys know about boxing, my cousins actually Edwin and Adolfo Verouette. Those two brothers actually fought Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, and many, many others. So they were Golden Glove champions and lightweight champions. So at an early age, my father, that's ingrained in us, the fighting. They're from Puerto Rico, my dad's side of the family. So when you go to Puerto Rico and you go to the town that they're from, they got a bunch of murals and stuff all over the place because it's really, really big there for them. So at like 4 or 5 years old, I got put in karate. And from karate, I started doing tournaments. And from tournaments, I got into like MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and all different types of styles of, you know, fighting.
That's crazy. That's dope. That's what's up.
Weapons, man. Everything, yeah.
See, that last part, that's what I'll be working with. She's like, weapons. She had to throw that in there, weapons. All right, listen, no smoke. No smoke. Y'all, listen, I got smoke and I ain't even lit up because I don't want no smoke. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. Like, I'm straight. Like, hey, you got to threaten me, Leah. Y'all seen that, right? Weapons. I'm going to call the police. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. All right, so I'm just playing, y'all. Hey, so, help me. And so, but no, that's what's up though. That it's really awesome that, you know, your dad ingrained that self defense in you guys, and that, you know, do you feel like that gave you a certain empowerment as far as how you pursued through life? Because I mean, after you had that confidence, like, hey, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Whoever come, I'm a, you know what I'm saying?
It definitely helped me, like, from getting my ass kicked in fights. I'll tell you that. And here's the messed up thing about it, being that my dad's Spanish. I'm sure it's in other cultures too, but my dad would sign me up for fights. Like, I would be, I'd come off the bus at a young age and be like, yo, you know, I'm getting picked on or I'm getting bullied or whatever, right? So then my dad be like, all right, I'm gonna fix that for you. So I'm thinking, all right, my dad gonna ride for me, right? So I get off the damn school bus with these same kids and they get off at the bus stop and he come up to be like, you both right now, fight her. And I'd be looking at him and he'd be like, yo, if you don't win or you don't fight, I'm gonna whoop your ass when we're done. So, damn. You know, that taught me early, like, don't lose.
You're going to get your ass whooped. You already got an ass whooped. Now you got to take another one.
Yo, and there'd be times, I ain't going to lie, like, for real, there was this time where it was these twin girls, and they were, like, fucking big. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, no, please don't. I'm about to get my ass whooped. But it didn't work out that way. I don't know. Just.
Hey. Pops was over there like, hey, jump. Yeah, uh-huh. Go as you go. Uh-huh. Yeah, Pop, holding. Go ahead, get over there.
They was like, no. Taking bets and shit and everything. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. That's wild. But you know what? We don't really have them like that no more than parents like that. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So shout out to Pops, to, you know what I mean, instilling that in you. So when you tell me about your cleaning business and how you got into that. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you can't be beating up the clients. You know what I'm saying?
So with the cleaning, I've always cleaned, like, from an early age. My mom had a lot of medical issues and stuff like that, so I had to handle a lot of things around the house. So I've always had a little bit of, like, OCD and just being, like, really organized and stuff like that. And one day I just got really tired of working for people, and I was like, what am I good at? What can I do? What are my talents that, you know, could potentially be a source of income that not a million people are doing, trying to get into the same lane? And it just hit me like, oh, let me do cleaning. So I literally was like the cleanest, I mean, the cheapest service for the longest time. Like, I was, when I look back at some of my prices, Matt, I have to laugh because, like, if you call a cleaning business right now, right? And you have, like, let's say one bedroom, one bathroom, and you want like a deep clean, that's at least $125, right?
Yeah.
When I looked at my prices back then, 9 years ago, I was charging $35. No wonder why I had so many clients, but I had a lot of clients. And then from there, I was able to, like, you know, make the prices adjust and stuff and make them more appropriate. But it literally just came from me being like OCD and wanting to just work for myself and try to figure something out. And I built a lot of rapport with a lot of people and had a commercial that was successful and got a lot of customers and had a lot of employees and stuff like that. And it's just been going strong for about 9 years now.
That's what's up. Definitely congratulations to your success. Building a business is not easy. The fact that you're able to navigate it, man, and definitely keep it going. Shouts out to you. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, a woman of many talents. It's crazy how much you would never know from just walking past a person. You know what I'm saying? And then you stop and have a conversation. And you get to know so much. You gotta
phone again. I just took the. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just bullshitting. I was.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hold on. Okay.
I can hear you.
I can't hear you though.
Oh. Can you hear me now? No, I probably should have done that.
All right, I can hear you again. Say something. Man. Yeah,
I'm just playing.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I'm just playing.
That was funny.
No, it's got to be the most fun interview, right? Like, I'm trying to do something different. But no, that's what's up. What would you say are some of the greatest skills that you've learned thus far, or some of the most useful skills that you've learned thus far in your life that's helped you, you know, to this point, that's gotten you to this point in your life?
Well, one that I'm still working on a little bit is patience, for sure. Definitely patience, respect and loyalty. That's my biggest things in life, and it goes both ways. I try to give it as well as I like to receive it, because honestly a lot of things fall under those two things, you know what I mean? It's a big umbrella, and a lot of different traits and stuff fall underneath that, because if you don't have those two things, you don't really have nothing else.
That's real shit, man. Real spill. I mean, like you said, you thank God your father had, he sounded like he was like one of the old school, you know what I'm saying?
Kind yeah, that man used to make me kneel on rice. He was definitely old school.
Whoa, you shit, man. Kneel on rice. God, yo, my knees yo, hurt when you said that.
Yeah, oh. one time he told me to go get the bag of rice, and they used to make me pour it out myself, right?
So no.
Yes, so you go get the bag of white rice, you pour it out, you got to kneel on it for like 5-10 minutes. And when you think about it, when he first told me to do it, I laughed. I wasn't laughing about a minute later, right?
No.
So one of the last times he ever had me do it, I already knew what was coming. So I looked at him and I said, can I cook it first?
Ooh.
Yeah, I got in big trouble. Don't ask your parents if you can cook it first, guys. Don't do that.
Man, you know, the craziest part is, like, back in the day, they didn't have to be, like, I guess that's what people don't understand. Like, I know it's messed up, but back in the day, you got to a point where you just take the whooping, like, because we had like wall time, like when you got to stand against the wall, like against a chair, you know what I'm saying? Sitting, like kneeling on rice, dang, you brought it back on that one. That was, like, oh my God. You got things that scar you mentally, like you know what I'm saying? That you can't even, I'd rather just take the whooping. I won't even feel it in 3 days, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever, like it's crazy. Like it's, oh yeah, nowadays is, give me your iPad, Tom. Give me your like I'm just saying, like it's just different, it's wild. But no, I feel bad. I'm glad your knees were able to recover, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy. Like RIP them, man. I'm telling, because my knees hurt. Knees like right now when you said that. That's crazy as hell. Sitting on
imagine
rice,
imagine after 10 minutes you got all those little indents on your knees, you're trying to pick rice out your kneecap for like 5 minutes.
I'm a very vivid, I know this word doesn't exist, but nah, I'm not gonna embarrass myself like that. I have a very vivid imagination, so when I can really like detail a situation in my mind. So when you said kneeling on rice, I immediately saw bloody rice and knees. I was like, oh my God, no. And I've been sitting here rubbing my shit. I've been sitting here rubbing, because like, man, yo, they used to say stuff like, you going to sit there till I get tired. How that match up? I'm going to sit here till you get tired? I'm the one on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. So, I mean, man, but you like, hey, did you respect the man? Did he ever have really problems out of you? Or you? Hey, after a couple times, I was like, nah, I'm good on that.
I was good on that. I was good on the rice.
Yeah, no, that was just different. So, so you said the patience and the respect, and the loyalty. You know what I'm saying? How do you feel like you're coming along from that? What makes you say that those are the things that you want to, you know what I'm saying, that you want to continue to develop? Because I don't know. Like, I feel like it's, some people have it or they don't. But I feel like some people gain it at different points, if they can. And then other people, like, choose not to do it. It's weird. So how do you determine who's doing what in your life as you continue to go, I guess?
I mean, I'm pretty stern in what I believe in and what I expect and stuff like that from people. So whether you have a friendship with me, any type of relationship with me, you kind of know already coming into the situation, what I'm going to play around with, what I'm not going to play around with, things like that. But a lot of the reasons why I'm so big on those traits because situations and things have happened to me. So things happen to you in your life when you're growing up, and then you're like, oh, wow, you don't ever want to experience those things again. So if I feel like you're being fake, or you show me any type of like where you're not loyal and stuff like that, I cut off the situation quick because I've been hurt by those situations and I don't have time for those games. You know what I mean? Like, I'm real big on those things. So
I definitely understand that. You know what I'm saying? Again, that comes back from learning from experience, like you said before. So no, I'm just, you know what I'm saying, anxious to see where everyone's head is at. The purpose of these videos, like I tell everyone at the same time, is for people to be able to get to know you, but also, you know, hopefully we do this again over time and you're able to look back and you see your growth.
Yeah.
As you progress. Cause I'm telling you, sometimes I sit back and I look at some of these older interviews and I'm like, damn, I used to say a lot. And I mean, I still do it a lot, but I'm like, damn, I used to do that shit a lot. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But also to see, as you're thinking back in reflection, that's when I feel like you can really see your growth. Like, when most people measure growth from like where they think they're supposed to be. And I always try to encourage people to look at where they are versus like where they started, and then you can see your growth. Like you said, looking at your prices and looking at what they go for now.
Man,
you know,
it's comical. When I seen that, I was like, what was I doing?
Hey, you were building an empire. You know what I'm saying? Most people don't look at it that way, but you know what I'm saying? It sounds crazy, but apparently it was successful for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was hungry for it. You know, you have to have drive, motivation, and hunger for things. You know, you can't just, a lot of people think, and even some of my friends, they see me build my business and they're like, oh, she's doing it. It's easy. Let me just do it. And it's not so much about what you do sometimes. It's about how you do it. Like, a lot of my friends didn't realize the nights that I lost sleep. You know, I couldn't enjoy things and go out places and attend things because I was busy cleaning, working, figuring things out, you know, handling my business. A lot of people don't see all the money, time, and stuff that you put into something, and they think that they could just do it so easily. Right. And a lot of people didn't realize, like, they think that I just one day said, oh, I'm gonna start a cleaning business, and I just posted it, and it just grew into this amazing thing. And they don't realize I was literally going door to door, driving around, knocking on doors, saying, hey, I'll trim your hedges for $10. Hey, I'll clean this, you know, for next to nothing, just to get my foot in the door. You know what I mean? And how I literally had to get surgery on my wrist because I'd killed my wrists already from putting in so much work. You know what I mean? They don't understand, like, the long-term effects and stuff on things. So,
oh, you was in the kitchen?
No. I had to have the carpal tunnel surgery on both wrists already. So,
my bad. I'm just kind of like, no. That's what's up. That you had that drive, because not everybody has that. You know what I'm saying? And that's really encouraging and really inspiring, because Like I said, not everybody has that motivation or that want, or that they don't understand what it takes, that sacrifice. And the fact that you were able to figure that out, to execute that and make those sacrifices. Like I said, I commend you, man. I wish I was a little closer, because I'm telling you, like, y'all can't see all of everything that's here. But I'd be like, hey, Leah, man, what's the hookup on the on the cleaning shit? Because this shit is crazy.
Fly me out, I'll do it. Fly me out.
If I fly you out, my wife will kill me.
I didn't mean it like that.
She'll be like, no, I ain't saying that like that. I'm saying, like, she be like, for real. You know how many, she's like, you know how many cleaning supplies we could have bought, you know what I'm saying? Or that ticket. I'm like, yo, but yeah, nah, shit, Kim. But listen, I'm gonna keep it on the table though. You feel me? Like, I got you. Hey, she's not here right now, so I'm gonna talk to her. Cause I don't wanna die, or else it'll be a whole different kind of cleaning. She'll be calling you.
Hey, I do me. That too.
Whoa, see, that's what, hey, so no, I'm good. I'm
not
good.
For real.
Y'all ain't hear me say nothing like that.
I'm not saying call me if you do something personally. I'm just saying, you know, if they need to contract me, if your local sheriff's office needs to contract me for a job, you know what I mean? I can handle that. Don't call me personally for a cleaning job, though. I'm just saying.
Make sure you use the burner. So no. No, just with all jokes aside. So, where do you see yourself, or where would you like to be in 5 years? Obviously, you've got a drive, you've got a vision, you've got motivation. You know what I'm saying? You've got this encouragement to keep moving forward. That's internalized. Where do you want to see yourself in 5 years? What's the mission? What's the goal?
The mission is to change my business into biohazard cleaning, like I was just telling you about with the joking of the cleanup stuff.
Oh, the CSI, you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Like, yeah.
Oh, snap. I'm
serious. Yeah. So,
dead serious? Be alive serious. It's like, God, hey. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So, my goal is to switch over to that and then pull back from it completely. Like, set it up for success. Hire somebody, put them in place, and then just collect a check from that. And then focus more on what my passion is, which is more like gymnastics, and I want to do more featuring in the clubs and stuff like that. I want to travel more, model, step out my comfort zone more with the modeling, doing other stuff other than, like, you know, nudity or nude implied and different things like that with stuff like that. So
that's what's up. I definitely know you can do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna participate in your entrapment deal earlier that you mentioned. but we are definitely here to support, and we definitely want to help and support any way that we can. Y'all, in case y'all didn't know, like I said, if you're watching this video, you probably already know. This video is being released at the same day that the No Offense magazine Spring 2024 issue is being released, with Leah featured on the cover, her article in the magazine. So if you're not visiting this from the magazine, make sure you check out the magazine. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you get
right.
It. I'll make sure that you have the link wherever you're watching this. And make sure that you support her journey. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you follow her on all platforms. There is a magazine page in the magazine that has her links as well. So make sure as you flip it through the magazine, you hit it up. You know what I'm saying? Last time I checked, they're not charging for follows or shares or comments. Or adding to your story. I think that's still free.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Feel free to use those tools. You know what I'm saying? It'll charge you nothing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Definitely do that. And you might, who never knows, you might gain a fan. You might gain a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Who knows how that's going? So as far as here in the very near future, do you have anything that people should be aware of, or that they should come look out for, or, you know, that you might be working on that they should just keep a lookout for?
Yeah. So right now I'm currently, if you guys have been following me, you know about the Spark Up clothing line. I'm revamping some things with that so I can release it and put up a website for y'all to make purchases and stuff. As far as the modeling goes, I will be at Miami Swim Week June 2nd. I'm finalizing all the details now, but you guys can catch me there. I'll be walking for two different designers. And then with the featuring, I'm probably going to be entering some contests and different competitions coming up here soon. I don't want to say too much on that until I know exactly what I'm doing.
I understand. As far as people who might be interested in, like, having you come out to feature. They just reach out to you on one of your platforms.
Absolutely. Reach out to me on platforms. I can do hosting. I can do parties. I can do multiple different things. Definitely check us out on the High Council every Thursday night at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And what time for you, Matt?
6:30.
6:30. Yep. So definitely check us out. Catch some laughs. You'll hear all about what I got going on a weekly basis that way as well.
I definitely appreciate you, Leah. Listen, it's been an awesome sit down. I can't wait to go here. Of course, I got to do a little bit of editing because I don't want nobody showing up at my door trying to put a hazard biohazard clean up. You know what I'm saying? You talking about putting people in place to be successful. I don't know if that means hiring hitmen or what. You like, we go hit them and get them gone too. You know what I'm saying? But no, I was like, but all jokes aside, it's definitely been an awesome interview. I appreciate you coming through. Looking forward to working with you. It's been an awesome opportunity to have you on the High Council. You added a whole different element to the show. I think the others can agree. And it's just, make sure y'all tune in on Thursdays, man. Hey, listen, don't judge us. We're going to go from a different mode from here to that show. But listen, don't trip, because I know some people will clean you up.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in the High Council.
On God. All right, so until then, remember, don't wait on the world to change, when you can be the one to change the world.
Thanks.
We out. Y'all be safe.